Good morning. Welcome to Jenkins Church. If the attendance booklets have not been passed out, I would ask that someone help us by passing those out this morning. And then we ask that you would register your attendance and pass it along to your neighbor. Our announcements are printed in the bulletin. We ask that you take a few moments and look at all the events scheduled for this week, the activities. Do we have any announcements from the congregation? Children's choir at 4:30, Kids for Christ at 5 o'clock. Gary. Technology Committee at 5. Speaking of committees, there was a sign-up sheet for all the committees, and it's been misplaced. If anyone knows where it is, please get it back to Larry. Also, I think maybe there's duplicate copies going around. If anyone is interested in signing up for any of the committees, I guess see Larry, and we'll get that sign-up sheet for you. Anyone else? Okay, on our prayer list, do we have any prayer list concerns, additions, or deletions? No?
This is not a prayer concern. You passed around a committee sign-up sheet. And Charles has some committee responsibilities right here. And they're pretty small print, but you can still see them. If you'd like to serve on the committee, it's an opportunity. Also, every child or young person, till they run out, then we go to the adult, could have a little illustration for the sermon today. Pass that on. Also, did we mention Brother Bennett? And Ms. Bennett. Okay. Brother Bennett and Ms. Bennett, Wednesday night had a wreck, ran off the road on McEwen Lane, Old Liberty Pike, and are sicker than they started thought they were. Ms. Gammon, is that right? They started out not being real sick, we thought, but evidently the bruises were worse. And it took them 3 hours to get the car out or something of that nature. Get her out. Okay. Dr. Joe is going to Rocky Clay to preach first time today. He's preached there before, but this is assuming to his pastorship today.
If anyone would like to add someone to the prayer list, if you would just write the name on an index card in the pew and drop it in the offering plate. In preparation for worship at this time, we ask that you please bow for a moment of silent prayer. Worship this morning comes from Psalms. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers.
Let's all stand, turn in our hymnals to hymn 585. The second one will be 588. So don't lose your place.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power? Preach the word. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray as holy manna will be showered all around. Let us love our God so freely. Each other too. Let us love and pray for sinners till our God makes all things new. Oh, he'll call us home to heaven, and his table will sit down. Christ will gird himself and serve us with sweet manna.
turn over to 588. We have come into his house.
Prayer. Strange things as it is, sometimes I can hear a word or a phrase and go back 50 years plus, and I remember being back in a little country church in Mississippi, and some lady would pray, "Lord, may it be that we have all come here for no other reason than to worship you." And I'd think, "Did I really come to worship?" And I'd say, "I hope I did. Lord, let me worship you." We sung about that this morning, to just worship Him. Lord God, thank You for calling us to worship You and to praise You. Thank You, Lord, that You gave us the strength to come and be here with these Your people. Thank You, Lord, that You gave us music to sing and instruments to play and instrumentalists to play them. And Lord, we thank You for leaders to lead us in singing. And we thank You for the choir and Sam. And we thank You for the voices that we can use to express ourselves before You and to express Your worth in our lives. And Lord, we pray as we have met together that truly we could worship in truth and in spirit. In the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Let us express our faith through the Apostles' Creed and then sing the Gloria together.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world.
seated. Our call to confession this morning comes from John 1, verse 10. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His Word has no place in our lives. Please join me in the prayer of confession. Eternal God, in every age, You have raised up men and women to live and die in faith. We confess that we are indifferent to Your will. You call us to proclaim Your name, but we are silent. You call us to do what is just, but we remain idle. You call us to live faithfully, but we are afraid. In Your mercy, forgive us. Give us courage to follow in Your way, that joined with those from ages past who have served You with faith, hope, and love, we may inherit the kingdom You promised in Jesus Christ. Our assurance of forgiveness comes from Psalms 145. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. He hears their cry and saves them.
Turn again in your hymnals, if you will, please, to hymn 405.
Sam, it's me. I was late, but can I have just a report, a praise report? My mother-in-law is in Florida. We took her to her home there, and she's very happy. So that's a praise report. And my mom is in Africa on her trip, and I got a postcard yesterday, and she took her first open-air balloon ride, and she said it was really exciting and fun until they landed upside down. And she had to crawl out of the basket in the weeds, but she was seeing lots of beautiful animals. But anyway, pray for her safe return. She returns on the 18th of February. Things are much less stressful in my household and happier. So just continue to pray, but it works.
that balloon will travel that far back to the state?
I'll take that as a no. Verses 1 and 2, hymn 405. To hymn 562, we are learning. In case you didn't think we were learning already today, beautiful words of these hymns that we have sung. Beautiful words. And this one, I liked this one at 8 o'clock. I hope you will too. Play that through for us, please. Thank you.
children's time now with Miss Andrea. If all the children would please come down front, and there will be children's church today.
Good morning. Oh, my goodness. Let's do that again. Good morning.
Good morning.
There we go. Oh, you know, this week, Valentine's Day is going to happen. I think it's on Wednesday, I believe. And I can remember when I was about your age how we used to make, you know, decorate boxes to take to school, and we'd take Valentine's to give, hopefully, to everyone. But you were always worried about, would you get any Valentine's, you know, back? That was a big concern. And I can also remember when I was about 10, I got my first box of flowers and a card from a boy in my class, which was really confusing to me. I'd always gotten one from my daddy, but I went to the mailbox, and there was a little box of chocolates and a card, and I didn't quite know what to do about that. So, but, you know, I learned later as I grew along that he was just trying to say that he thought I was somebody special, and I really appreciated that once I figured it out. And then this week I got a Valentine's message on my email at work from a friend of mine, and it asked that I pass it on because the hope is that we would pass it out to the whole world. And the message was, and as I'm reading through this, it's going to be a very familiar verse to you, but it spells the word Valentine, and it's the greatest Valentine ever. For God so loved the world, there's your V, that he gave, there's your A for Valentine, his only, there's your L, begotten, and there's your E, son, there's the N. That, there's your T, whosoever, and he doesn't say just a few of us, whosoever chooses to believe in him, there's your I, should not perish, there's your N, but have everlasting, there's your E, life. And that's John 3:16, very familiar to you. And it says, send this on around the world. So, of course, I sent it on to some people. Now, my Valentine to you through the Lord Jesus Christ is that you take that message as children of his and pass it on to each and every person that you know. Let's finish this now. Our offertory sentence today comes from 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Will the ushers please come forward?
Please, to hymn 406. My hope is in the Lord. I bring you greetings from our missionaries, Boyce and Beth Wallace, in South America. I was there for 15 days, and we did get a lot done. One of the highlights of the week was a communion service that we had on the property of the nursing home. And we also got completed with the foundation for what I'm thinking is the third wing, but plans have changed there a little bit. But we got the foundation poured for a 30 by 100 building, and we stood in a circle with the Colombians, and we each put a foot on the concrete foundation, and we had prayer. So it was an uplifting, and spiritually and physically, we accomplished a lot. So thank you for allowing me to go. I know there was at least a couple of people glad to see me back. But we had a great trip. And I encourage everyone that can to make some kind of mission trip at one point in their life. It truly is a fulfilling experience. First verse only, 406.
Lesson today comes from Jeremiah 17, 5 through 10. This is what the Lord says: Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wasteland. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind, to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. The word of God for the people of God.
I want us to think this morning about in whom we put our trust. I was a little confused, so it seems. If it seems that way, it really is true. During the 8 o'clock service, I gave this out, and then during the Sunday school hour, I couldn't find it. So we went and made another one and passed it around. We need committee members. We probably have enough to function in every committee except the Recreation Fellowship Committee. And evidently we don't do much fellowship. or recreation, whichever one. Kitchen committee really is taking care of fellowship dinners, so that may be covered, but recreation. But if you'd like to serve on a committee, this is your opportunity. They meet tonight. I believe that Christian Education meets at 4 o'clock. Building and Grounds meets at 5 o'clock. Evangelism and Missionary Education Committee meets at 5 o'clock. Kitchen Committee, they met last week, I believe. Monday Night Committee meets right after this worship service. Outreach Committee, I believe they meet at 4 o'clock. Is that true? Does somebody know that? And Worship Committee, they're a working committee and meet about once a year. And Karen, y'all don't need to meet, got everything covered. Technology Committee meets at 5 o'clock. Now, on that little handout, there was nothing about the Technology Committee, but you need to be real technical, like computers and sound systems. That's what they're dealing with right now. And just see Gary Bomar, just be here at 5 o'clock and find Gary and those other members there. Did the other sheet get around? And I hesitate to give this out because it ended up, it went home with somebody after the 8 o'clock service. So please don't let that other sheet go home with you, and keep this one. Now, I hate to make the announcement to kind of break up the worship service, but the work of the church goes on through these committees. If you don't function, the preacher gets to decide everything you do. And you certainly don't want that, right? I don't want that. Want us to think about faith in God and the benefits of faith in God rather than man. In the scripture lesson, there was a P left out. It's not arts, lands on the fourth line down. It's parched lands, and there should be a period after. He will not see prosperity when it comes in the third line, period. He will dwell in the parched places of the earth. P, parched. And got a new secretary and just gone to work, and the computer messed this up. She couldn't have done that. Actually, we had three people working Friday, and I was one of them, and I probably got that P out. I'll take blame for it and left that period out. So, Scripture says parched land. One thing that I may have had, not sure if it got to you, how many we had, maybe especially for the children, a handout. Charles has had I'm still a little confused, am I not? An old handout upside down. A tree, this portion of the tree that trusts in man, this portion of the tree is an illustration for those who trust in the Lord. And barren, no fruit, no leaves even, a lot of fruit on this one. I'm trying something new today, myself, using a PowerPoint. So pray for me. And I had it all up here, 8 o'clock, and forgot it. At the end of the service, I looked down, and there was this little mouse here. But if I forget, Gary, you have the stuff, and Gary's going to try to catch up with us. Is that right? You have that other clicker? Okay. Yeah. I don't know. But anyhow, so the sermon title is, In God We Trust. It's on your money. Every time you spend a penny, do you read that? We're trusting in the Lord God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we see Jesus as being God coming to earth in the flesh. And this is exciting to me. And I'm not saying at all that we don't trust in God, but I'm afraid I have run into a lot of people that do not trust in God, and especially the young people, the teenagers. I think it's so important that we understand where we are to put our trust. And new Christians, new believers, are people who are experimenting, are investigating the life of the Christian community, or the life of people in the kingdom of God. And I hope that I speak to you this morning. I wrote a purpose this morning in the sermon. Was told to do that 40 years ago, and 3 weeks ago I started doing it, and then skipped last week, and I've tried it again this week. I'm hoping that through what I say this morning and what God says to you, it doesn't matter what I say, but He hopefully will speak through me. That's my prayer, and I hope it's your prayer, that God will speak to you through the sermon this morning. And I come here to encourage you as listeners to put your faith in God rather than man, rather than riches, rather than armies, or anything else other than God. Dot, dot, dot. You can just write your own blanks in there. I chose a text this morning, and I think it fits. A verse that I memorized a long time ago, and I don't remember many verses. I haven't memorized it. Even this morning at 8 o'clock service, I left out half of the Lord's Prayer. Wow. But they kept up with me. And I was past it, and I couldn't go back to it. And I thought I did, but it's one of those things, bang, you know, you want to, what's happening to you? But it happens to you too. If it hadn't yet, it will. Probably already has, right? So just get ready. But I know a few verses I have memorized. Balancing that against those who have memorized whole chapters and whole books of the Bible, and some people have memorized the whole New Testament. I heard somebody the other day was trying to memorize the whole Bible, I think, and I thought, why do you want to do that when you can go read it but or listen to it on tape? But anyhow, that's their goal. But trust in the Lord, one that I have used over and over and over and keep reminding myself, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. And the Lord is the word that we emphasize with all of your heart. And not, and lean not unto your own or thine own understanding. In all of your ways, that means everything that we're doing, all, right? Everything that we're doing, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. The NIV is almost the same, except it has make your path straight. You can see where you're going if you're trusting in the Lord, because you know when you're going toward Him. Many people, and some of you have seen more of this than I have, and others may have experienced it, or you may be in danger of experiencing it, but many people start a relationship with the church. And I'm not even saying they start a relationship with Christ. They're investigating a relationship with Jesus Christ. They're investigating as they look at Christ's people, God's people, that we know as the church, the kingdom on earth. And they start a relationship with the church, but they soon fall by the wayside. How many people, or how many times, have you seen this very thing happen? They come in, they get into the church, they go great guns, they run real fast, and they do everything they can, and some, we want to say, they burn out. Or what do? They give up. They drop out. They fall by the wayside. And it's over. And it's almost impossible. I say almost. It's almost impossible to get these people back into the church again. And they've all got a story about how they went to church and somebody offended them. Or somebody didn't live up to what it was. What they were doing, they were putting their faith in people and not in God. So, if you put your faith in people, you are bound to be disappointed. I can stand before you, and even stand before you in this community, but in Madison, Tennessee, in El Dorado, Arkansas, people who got into the church and somebody in the church disappointed them and they dropped out. They were looking at other people for their example or for what they're supposed to do. And that person faltered or stumbled. And we want to say that it's the church people's fault that we ran them off. But it might not be so. You know, church people are going to stumble. You ever stumble since you become a church person? You ever stumble since you become a Christian? Everybody else has too. If they haven't, they will in another day or two. Don't get too proud, because pride comes right before the fall. That's kind of paraphrasing one of the Proverbs. But people are going to disappoint you. I'm going to disappoint you. I'm not going to live up to all of your expectations. I can't. And you're going to disappoint me. You know, it's a two-way street. I'm not going to tell you the places that you have disappointed me if you won't tell me the places that I've disappointed you. You know, we could, well, you disappointed me then, and well, y'all can come back, well, you disappointed me then. We don't need to do that. It's just going to happen. It happens. People stumble in their walk. Like Ms. Bennett ran off the road the other night. And sometimes we run off the road. Is that right? In our spiritual walk. That was a physical thing. I hope Mr. Bennett wasn't driving then, because he can't see it. That's a joke. I didn't think he was. But she ran off the road in a physical sense. I've come through that road and I've almost fell off a time or two. Carol won't even, if I start that way and Carol's with me, she says, go the other way. But then you got to go through that little one-lane tunnel and meet cars. But anyhow, that's one of our disagreements, where I disappoint her when I drive through that road with her. In there, anyhow. The parable of the sower. Three Gospels have the parable of the sower. And I learned this week that the Gospel of John doesn't have parables in it. It has miracles. Gospel of John, parables, are few and far between, if any. You may dig in and find one little parable, or something to be considered a parable, or two little parables or something. But the big parables, I was going to see where every place the parable of the sower was in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and it wasn't in John that I found. Didn't go back and read every word, but I think it wasn't. There are two parables of the sower. One parable of the sower is where the sower goes out and sows the seed, and it's good seed, and somebody, the enemy comes and sows bad seed. Well, we won't worry about that one. So that might apply. But the other parable of the sower is where the sower goes out to sow, and there's four kinds of ground that the seed falls in. One is the hard ground of the path. It doesn't even start to grow. They may observe. If this is people, they may observe the church at work, but they never even start a relationship or begin a relationship with God and Christ or with the church. They just maybe drop in every once in a while to a special revival or a song service, or when Renaissance comes or something like that, but the real depth of the matter, they don't get involved in. And so they don't produce any fruit. Those seed don't. And then the other seed falls, one of them falls on rocky ground. And if you live in Middle Tennessee, you know all about rocky ground. And there's, in some places there's about that much dirt over the rock in your ground. If you don't believe it, just try to drive a fence post in your ground. I tried to move my mailbox a year or two ago, and I drove here and it didn't work. Picked up and drove over here, it still didn't work. In our backyard, where we go in out of the back of the house, there's a spot right there in the little square, if you're familiar with our backyard, that early in the year it gets real brown. Now, there is rocks right under there. And the moisture gets gone real quick. And when the moisture's gone, the grass there dies. And so that grass dies early. It's like a person who trusts in man. They soon experience a parching. A parching. The sun beats down on them, the sun of life, sons of life, the troubles of life, and they just don't have any roots. And then the other seed falls among thorns. And the thorns, the weeds and everything, they choke out the life. And out of the four seed that's planted, four types of seed that's planted, one produces. I think I used that in a sermon some time ago. And the fourth one, other things come by and choke out the interest that we thought we had or were going to show or going to give to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, the parable of the sower talks about those who start a relationship. The grass or the seed that grew in the rocky ground, it started, soon faded away. The one that fell among the thorns, it started and grew, but the life was soon choked out. Only that it fell upon good ground. The seed that fell upon good ground produced. So these people start a relationship and something causes them to fall away. and not be a part of the kingdom of God. And sometimes they'll blame the church or blame people in the church. And sometimes we may feel guilty that we are the reason. What did we do wrong? And we are concerned about it. But it may be that they were putting their faith in the wrong place. They were not putting their faith in the Word of God. And that's my contention. What happens? My belief. They haven't put their faith in God. We who are believers, we who carry the name of Christ, we who are called or are called a kingdom of priests by the Apostle Peter, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's own people, we have this great and grave responsibility, this serious responsibility to set a good example for those who are investigating a relationship with God or investigating the church. But we just know that we stumble too. Did somebody use the phrase, we have feet of clay also? We are subject to stumbling. We who are trusting in Jesus Christ, we will stumble. And you who are trusting in other Christians as your pattern or your example must know that if your faith is in a man, that man or woman is likely to stumble. Men, people make mistakes. People make mistakes. Christian people, somewhere, sometime, not wanting to, but it can happen anytime when the situation is just right. It might be that somebody says something to us that we take wrong and we lose our cool and we snap back at them. That's setting a bad example. Am I right? You've done it. The call to confession in our lesson today, in our bulletin today, the call to confession tells us that we're going to falter somewhere along the way. We're not perfect. We use that often as an excuse, but it's a fact. We are not perfect. Jeremiah speaks to this situation. Number one, I would say about Jeremiah, can we go about two more? Maybe I can. Can we go? Okay, can we go back one? I forget that. I'm going to have to learn if I use it. It's supposed to be good now. Jeremiah speaks of this situation. This is, and that should be the Word, not Lord of the Lord. This is the Word of the Lord. This is the Word of the Lord. And the Word of the Lord, what does it say? It's futile to trust in man. Verse 6. Right there before you. It's futile to trust in man for your salvation, because man cannot save you. You may have heard me say it before. The man in the community is about once or twice a month, maybe once a week. He'll say, "Preacher, how many souls did you save Sunday?" And my response is, "I didn't save a soul. I don't save souls. Jesus does. I can tell them about Jesus, invite them to let Jesus save their soul, but I don't save souls. I don't have the power. I don't have the calling. I don't have the right. I don't have the ability. Jesus does the saving. So if we're trusting in me to save your soul, forget it. I can't. But Jesus can. We cannot. Salvation is through God. It's from God through Jesus. And a verse that I'll call to your attention, Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else except Jesus. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Only Jesus. Jesus is the Savior. The only name. Peter said it. Peter said it. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. That one who denied Jesus, but Jesus took him back and sent him to be a great witness for him. When he came time for him to be killed for his faith, he said, I can't even be crucified like my master was. Do it upside down. Nailed him to a cross upside down. If we're looking to other people for an example, they will disappoint us. David is that guy in the Old Testament, that King David, you know him, an ancestor of Jesus. He was a man after God's own heart. He wanted to be close to God. He wanted to serve God and honor God. But he faltered. You know how he faltered? The biggest way, the one we all know about, had this relationship with Bathsheba. He saw a beautiful woman bathing. She was naked. He looked upon her. He couldn't control himself. So he had her sent to him. Had relations with her. She became pregnant. And he even tried to have her husband killed. So, oh my goodness. Did get him killed. So he was adultery, fornication, and murder. He didn't actually do the murder, but he planned the murder. David, what an example. But he faltered. Moses was leading the people from Egypt to Canaan, the promised land. Numbers, I believe it's chapter 20. People began to be a pain. That would never happen in today's world. People began to be a pain, and they were thirsty, and they wanted water, and they said, Moses, get us some water. You let us out here too. Oh, and he got mad. God told him to go speak to a rock, and the water would come out, and he went up, and he took his staff, and he hit the rock. And the next verses say that the Lord said to Moses, Moses, because you hit the rock, you won't get to enter the promised land. You can look over in it. But Moses, a great example. We all look back to him when the Transfiguration came and Jesus met on the mountain with Peter, James, and John and Jesus. Who came to represent the law? Moses. God had given the law, the Ten Commandments and the subsidiary laws to Moses. And then Elijah. Elijah was a good example. He trusted in the Lord. He served the Lord. He went to battle against against Jezebel and Ahab. But he faltered. He was not a perfect example. We can't follow him because he got out there and got to crying one day. Jezebel was after him or having people to be after him, about to kill him. He just sat down and cried. He said, I want to die. That wasn't a good example for a servant of God. He needed to be up, we could say, be up doing the work of the Lord. But he sat down and cried. Set such a bad example for us. That's 1 Kings 19. And then for long-term guidance, two names I can speak to you that some of you possibly followed or depended on for guidance in your Christian life, and they disappointed you. And every time we bring up such a subject, I bet there's two names that come to most of our minds. And one of them is Swaggart, and one of them is Jim Baker. Not this Jim Baker, that other one. Right? We always think of them. They let us down. And they let so many down. But if people put their faith in them, that was the people's, part of the people's fault. But Swaggart and Baker had a responsibility to set a better example too. Great teachers, but they stumble. How futile is it to put your faith in man? Verse 6. I need somebody to read verse 6 for me. Who has it before them? So we're warned, if we put our faith in man, we'll be like unbarren tree. Then we move to the let me say this. There were many warnings throughout the Old Testament against the Israelites aligning themselves with other nations, even to protect them from another neighbor that was coming after them. Israelites looked to Egypt for help when they were being threatened by the Babylonians. But God warned them not to put their faith in the Egyptians. And we go back to when Jacob was alive and Joseph ended up in Egypt and he was there to save them when a famine came to the land of Canaan. Famine, Canaan, that's a little confusing, isn't it? But anyhow, when the famine came, they went to Israel and they were fed. But it wasn't long. Well, 300 or 400 years, but it wasn't long till they became slaves. So even if you put your faith in and get saved, you become slaves. If you put them in another person. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 2 and 3 speaks of Egypt's strength. This was at another time when the Babylonians were coming and threatening the Israelites. It says that Egypt's strength would be Israel's shame. And then in Isaiah 31, and then in Hosea, and then in Deuteronomy. There's so many places. So the wise thing to do. Next one, Gary. The wise thing, the right thing to do is to trust God. It results in blessings. Who will read number 7, verse 7 for me? The blessings that result in trusting God instead of people. He will be blessed. Now what are the blessings? Verse 8. Okay, stop. Yeah. We'll be like a tree, verse 8. What kind of tree? A barren tree? A well-watered tree. I wanted to sing that song this morning, another kind of new song for us. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Like a tree planted by the water, I shall not be moved. Who shall not be moved? That's the song of a person who has put their faith in God the Father and the Son Jesus Christ. Shall not be moved. Go ahead, Kelly.
It does not fear when he comes. Its leaves are always green. Has no worries in your ground and never fails
to bear fruit. So the fears are dispelled, the worries are dispelled, and with those gone, then, trusting in the Lord, well grounded, with a great crop of leaves, even if nothing else on the trees. You know, some trees, they all have a little fruit. The best thing about an oak tree is not the acorns, because you can't eat them, they're bitter and everything. The best thing about the oak tree to me is leaves. Well, you can cut wood, make lumber out of it, but I like the leaves to sit under and to put a swing under or a rocking chair under and just relax and enjoy it. Y'all like to do that too? Wow! What's the best thing that Larry thinks about an oak tree? The leaves on it. I grew up in a house that had 13 big oak trees. They grew from that size to that size during my growing up years. 13 big oak trees in the front yard. Many of them have died now, but boy, we love to sit out under the trees. Then we can provide shade. Got to have leaves on the tree to have shade. Shade, physical, but it might be help. Then we can be a help to those who are hurting. Then we can produce fruit. Maybe that was it. What kind of fruit? That was it. The kingdom fruit. What is kingdom fruit? Fruit for God's kingdom. Matthew Henry says this fruit is holiness. We can have holy lives if we're depending on the Lord, and then we can do some good works for the kingdom. We can be involved in missions outreach, etc., etc. We can bring new believers into the kingdom because we're trusting in the Lord, and we tell those new ones who are trusting, that they need to trust in the Lord. The question is, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Is it in other people? Or is it in God? And I'm believing, I'm trusting, I'm hoping that your faith is in God. In whom is your faith? It needs to be in God the Father and His Son, Jesus the Christ. Let me try to re-quote or quote again Proverbs 3:5-6. Maybe I should read it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Key part of that, I think, for this morning. Trust in the Lord. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. The phrase is, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Not in armies, not in horses, though horses are important in some people's lives. I even looked up a bunch of verses about horses and wanted to quote some of them, because the Bible says, you know, don't trust in most soldiers in those days rode horses. And says, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses. You know, horses good to get us around and good to play with, but we don't trust in big tanks for our real security. Our greatest security, our eternal security, is in the Lord. In Isaiah 31, Hosea 1, and Hosea 14. We can't be saved by military might, and horses in the Old Testament represented military might. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Moses was turning the leadership of Israel over to Joshua. It's in Deuteronomy 31. And Moses says to Joshua, the Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Put your faith in the Lord. The Lord God and His Son Jesus Christ. That's the solid rock. I want us to stand together and sing verse 1 and 4. That's the solid rock. And if you would respond publicly this morning, expressing your faith as being in God, it may be a reaffirmation, it may be a first time, but I'll meet you here in the altar and we'll pray. Commit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it's 404, and we'll sing 1 and 4.
Thank you. Oh,